me personally, like, you know, and this is no shot at Cassidy at all, but it's like, I don't be blowing up Cassidy's phone. And I'm not saying he's blowing me up, but he's always just sending me different videos. Like, oh, I think you should look at this video. I think you should look at this video about Free Grace. And the thing I don't get is I don't want to live my life in sin. And I've told you guys that I'm repenting from my sin and I'm trying to, you know, live a righteous life. So I don't understand why Free Gracers are trying to send me videos to show me, yo, you know, it's okay. Like, I don't think they realized it, but they're really acting like the serpent. And
The serpent. Whose team are you on, guys? Come on.
That's exactly what the serpent said. You know, it's okay. You can eat off this fruit. And every time he sends me those videos or something, I always look at it and I'm just like, bro, like, why do you keep on sending me these? Like, you know what I believe in. I know what you believe in. Like, just drop it right there. You know, we could talk about sports. We could talk about anything.
So there was not a single thing in this video that these guys said that was true. It's crazy. They are just slandering Free Grace. And you know, if grace was anything else but free, it would not be grace. Isn't that crazy? But it reminds me of Romans chapter 3, verse 8, where the Bible reads, "And not rather as we be slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil that good may come, whose damnation is just." So even Paul had the same thing going on where people were coming up to him saying, "Oh, so I can just sin however I want. I can just drink and party, you know, since you know, I'm going to be saved, right? I can just do all that. I'm going to go to heaven, right?" And then, you know, you go to Romans chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. It says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" So imagine people going over to Paul saying, "Oh, so I can just live in sin. I can do all this evil stuff and I'm good, right?" He says, "God forbid, we shouldn't do that. Just because grace will abound, does that mean you should continue to live in sin?" No. And these bozos, they're saying that I claim, and other Free Gracers, that you should live in sin. I've never told anybody to live in sin. Pull the clip up, please, if you have that. No, because you're lying. Nobody's ever said that. I've talked to Gideon several times. I've never told him to live in sin. I've never said that. As a matter of fact, what I did tell him, though, I gave him Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6, but it's like he doesn't want to listen to it. I mean, it says here in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not?" So if you're a child of God and you are not living right, if you are living in sin, God is going to chasten you, right? Just like when you disobey your parents, they are going to punish you, but you're still going to be their child. It's not like you're going to get in trouble, like your kid's in trouble, you know, and then they got to beg you for forgiveness in order to be your kid again, or they have to do good works in order to prove that they are your child. No, that's not the way it works. But, you know, depending on their behavior, if they obey your rules, you're going to bless them. If they disobey your rules, they're going to be in some trouble. So just like God lays upon us a blessing when we keep his commandments and a curse if we don't keep his commandments, it's really that simple. It's not that complicated, you know, and it's eternal life. You know, he gives us eternal life. It's not temporary life. It's not this thing where it's like, okay, I'm living right, I'm saved. I'm not living right, I'm not saved. I'm saved, now I'm not. I'm saved, now I'm not. I'm saved, now I'm not. I don't even know if I'm saved anymore. I mean, imagine living your life like that. You would never know. But when you know it's by the blood of Jesus and Christ alone that gives you salvation, it's not by your works, it's not by anything you do, it's pretty easy to know you're saved when Jesus paid it all. And you know, how to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And believe means just to trust, to depend on. So you're depending on Jesus, his death, burial, and resurrection in order to be saved. You're not depending on your own works to save you. And this is where they go, they say, "Look, so you're telling me not to do any works. Did I ever say that?" No. It's like an alarm, a trigger in their brain where it's like, your works don't save you. You're telling me not to do works. No. Your works don't play a role in your salvation. Okay? Romans 4:5, "But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." So Your faith in Christ is counted for righteousness. It is faith alone. That passage right there just said so. But there's people that will deny faith alone and say, well, it's faith plus works because James 2. James 2 is not a salvation passage. It's talking about being profitable unto one another, us being like me being profitable to another brother, to another person that needs help. Am I being profitable? If I'm not helping my brother in Christ out by giving them a jacket if they're cold, am I profitable to them? Absolutely not. That's what James 2 is about. It's not a salvation passage.
So like the only right. way, according to a free gracer, to not be saved is to preach repentance, which literally John right. the Baptist, that's Jesus, the and then Peter in Acts 2:38 did.
So this bozo, Isaiah Salad Bar, is trying to use Acts chapter 2, verse 38 as a proof text in order to show that you need to turn from your sins in order to be saved. So let's see if that's true. Let's start here in Acts chapter 2, verse 36. It says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So these people rejected Jesus and crucified Jesus. What do they need to do? They need to accept Jesus as their Savior, as their Messiah. It's really that simple. They rejected Jesus, so they need to turn from that, and they need to believe on Jesus. It's really that simple. That wouldn't even make any sense at all if it said, you guys need to stop lying, stealing, cheating, and fornicating, and gambling, and you need to believe in Jesus. If you read the context, that doesn't even make any sense at all. And if you had to turn from your sins to be saved, nobody would be saved. On top of that, turning from your sins is works. Jonah 3:10 in the Bible proves that. It says, and God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he said he would do unto them and did it not. So the Bible proves right there that turning from your evil way is works. Okay, and the reason that you need to turn from a false religion in order to be saved is because you can't trust in a false religion and trust in Jesus at the same time. All your faith and trust needs to be in Jesus alone. So you can't say, well, I'm a Muslim, but you know, I'm a Christian at the same time. That doesn't work that way. It's faith in Jesus in order to be saved alone. That's it. You can't also say, well, I'm trusting my good works to go to heaven, plus I'm trusting Jesus. It doesn't work that way. So that's why you would need to turn from a false religion and turn to Christ. And the word repent means to turn or to change. It doesn't mean to turn from sin. Okay, that's what a lot of, if you've typed that in, the first thing that comes up is to turn from your sins. Well, if repent meant to turn from sin, then that means God sinned. And because God repented more than anybody in the entire Bible, I believe around 40 times, God repents. Did God sin? Did he have any sin that he needed to get out of his life? No, because God's perfect. He is completely sinless. So that's a false doctrine. These people are trusting their works, and it's a bunch of lies.
It's like mind-blowing to me how the Muslim saved and in heaven, but I'm a heretic going to hell because I don't believe that if you just believe in your mind Jesus is Lord, you can live like the devil and still go to heaven. And the fact that I don't believe that makes me not saved.
But these people will lie and say that, you know, we believe Buddhists and Muslims are saved because they acknowledge the existence of Jesus, because that's their definition of believe, is to just acknowledge. No. To trust in Jesus means you're depending on him. You're not just acknowledging his existence, right? So let me give you an example. If I have an Uber, right, and I need to get to my destination, if I really trust that Uber, I'm going to get in and let him take me to the destination. I'm not going to try to take the wheel. I'm not going to try to drive myself there. I'm going to trust them to get me there. And that's what we got to do with Jesus. We trust him alone that he's going to get us to heaven by what he did. It's his works, not our works.
We all believe grace is free. You can't earn it. We all know it's grace, it's faith, it's all about what Jesus did. But when you believe on the cross, that's the very start. That's not the end of your journey. There's no like, right. I pray the prayer, now I'm, that's the beginning. Once you receive and say, I believe in the cross, then Jesus invites us to get on the cross with him. Paul says that I'm crucified with Christ. So free grace, mm-hmm. they don't go on the cross. They just sit back and say, oh, Jesus did it for me.
That's too much work to get up there on that cross.
Yeah, yeah. The cross is an invitation. The tomb, the empty tomb is an invitation for us to die with Christ, which they'll never talk about. There's actually you being crucified. Romans 12 says, give your body parts to God. People say, why don't you watch those ungodly movies? Why don't you drink? Why don't you party? I can't. My body doesn't belong to me. My mouth doesn't belong to me. I can't watch those movies. My eyes aren't mine. I gave my body to God 13 years ago, Romans 12, on the altar of living sacrifice.
If grace was anything but free, it wouldn't be grace. It's not, but what these people will try to lie and they say, well, it starts off as grace, then it turns into works. What? It doesn't work like that. It's grace the whole way through. You're saved by grace. It's not like you get saved by grace and it's works later. It's grace the whole time. It's like, what? You were never good enough to be saved. It's not like now you're good enough to be saved. Like to work your way into heaven. It's like this is kind of what they believe. It is what they believe. But it's like, okay, I could never work my way into heaven alone. But now with Jesus, I can work my way into heaven. It's like, no, it's like Jesus is their stepping stone for them. In order to earn their way into heaven. That's not how it works. It's not Jesus plus works. It's Jesus. That's it. And another thing these bozos do is they make every passage about salvation. It's like, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and thou shalt be saved. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, and thou shalt be saved. It's like, no, you do realize that there's more doctrines in the Bible than just salvation. Salvation is easy. It's believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And then after that, you know, you got to grow spiritually, learn more advanced doctrines. It's like these people aren't even saved, so they don't even understand it. It's like, dude, there's more doctrines than salvation. Okay. It's like any verse you go to in the Bible. Oh, salvation. Oh, salvation. If you love me, keep my commandments. Salvation. It's like, no, that's not what that's even talking about. Okay. If you had to keep the commandments of Christ in order to be saved, nobody would be saved because you'd have to keep them 100% perfectly. It's not possible. That's why we're saved by grace. We're not saved by works. It's just mind-blowing, you know, how much these people twist what we believe. But that's what they have to do in order to get people on their side, because if people actually saw the truth of what we believed, then they would come to our side. But, you know, people love to glorify themselves. You know, the Bible says that no flesh shall glory in his presence. But, you know, with their mindset, though, you know, by them thinking that they did enough works to go to heaven, then they could glory. They could say, look, I was better than this guy. Therefore, I made it to heaven. This guy didn't make it to heaven because he didn't do enough, but I did enough. I'm in heaven. That's not the way it works, though. Because everybody's saved by believing on Jesus. It's not by works. So I just wanted to just drill that in. These guys are just lying, talking out of their rear ends. And I hope you guys enjoyed this video. Be sure to like and comment and subscribe.